on this episode of RevHang.
I was still pretty high, elevation-wise, that is.
Elevation. It's in Oregon, so, I mean, you gotta clarify. He's done it 5 times this year. He's out of excuses. I don't care.
The animosity is something we've really been missing for a while.
I've been double-crossed.
Yeah, we don't ever talk about politics here.
No, only in broad strokes when it comes to Argentina and Germany. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to RevHang. I am Nathan, as always, and alongside me also, as always, is my good friend and co-host and conqueror of the South Sister, I believe, Everest. Better watch its back. It's Ben Bagley. How you doing, Ben?
I'm doing good. I would also like to clarify, I actually didn't go up the South Sister at all. I just kind of hiked around it.
Oh, did you do Moraine Lake? Is that what you did?
I did the PCT.
Ah.
Yeah.
Well,
it was still pretty cool, though. I was still pretty high, elevation-wise, that is.
Elevation. It's in Oregon, so, I mean, you got to clarify.
spooky time.
Why not both? You know what I'm
saying?
Why
not get spooky in the woods? No, my wife
Why
knows
not?
That. Everybody knows that I don't actually smoke.
Yes.
But if I did?
But if you did, it would be on the PCT.
Yep.
100%. Where there's cliff faces and things that can hurt you. But anyway, this is not a borderline mountaineering kind of sort of Pacific Northwest trailblazing trail hiking podcast. Although that would do very well, I'm sure, in our
Broad
area.
That it could work, yeah.
This is a racing podcast, so let's dive right in with some paddock news. We have just a little bit this week, and it was that McLaren submitted a right of review to the FIA for Lando Norris's penalty in Austin, and it was promptly denied, as everyone knew it would be, because I have yet to see a right of review actually sustained.
The illusion of control.
There have been many in the last few years, and none of them even reach the board, so that's that. Norris has a penalty for Austin and finishes fourth. He finished fourth because it was a Ferrari 1-2. I remember all the things.
I remember things that happened last week all the time.
Yes. It is getting increasingly difficult to remember things that have happened. The news cycle is keeping us plenty busy right now. But that is, again, is for another podcast.
What news cycle?
Yeah. Anyway, if you're American, you know.
Even if you're not American, you also probably know. We're quite
probably
loud about it.
Considering I get the majority of my news from Sky News Australia, I would imagine most of the world probably knows as well.
That's impressive.
Regardless, this is a racing podcast, not a political podcast, of which there are many, and you can go find that somewhere else.
Yeah, we don't ever talk about politics here.
No, only in broad strokes when it comes to Argentina and Germany. But that is a callback for another time. Let's move into qualifying for the Mexican Grand Prix or the Mexico City Grand Prix. I don't really know. They seem to change it every year. So, Mexican Grand Prix qualifying top 10. We have Carlos Sainz on pole position with an absolutely crazy good lap, followed by Max Verstappen and Lando Norris. And then 4th and 5th were Leclerc and Russell. 6 through 10 were Hamilton, Magnussen, Gasly, Albon, and Hülkenberg. And the notables in the bottom 10 are Oscar Piastri in 17th, who just had a horrible qualifying, and Sergio Perez in 18th, who had an average qualifying for him. So,
brutal.
Moving into the race, he's done it 5 times this year. He's out of excuses. I don't care. All right.
He's been out of excuses. We've been over this.
We're going to talk about Sergio Perez this episode because it would not be an episode of RevHang without talking about Sergio Perez. So, look forward to that. First, let's move into the race. Verstappen battled Sainz into turn 1. Sainz went off the track and had to relinquish the lead of the race. Tsunoda and Albon hit each other also into turn 1, ending both of their races early and bringing out a safety car, first one since last week. but before that, it had been a while. Norris jumped up to P3. I guess he maintained P3. He started P3, but, you know, it is what it is. Sainz passed Verstappen into turn 1 on lap 9, taking the lead of the race with a fantastic move. Norris battled Verstappen into turn 4 on lap 10 when Max decided to shove him off the road. Norris somehow ended up ahead after that, until Verstappen decided to shove him off the road again into turn 7 with a, let's just say, questionable move at best. Verstappen received two 10-second penalties, effectively ending his race, and nobody complained except for Red Bull.
Yep.
Russell and Hamilton battled each other throughout the race with some pretty spicy moves. Perez and Lawson battled each other hard and did not play nice. More on that later. Piastri cut through the field late, making his way into the points after his horrible qualifying performance. And Norris chased Leclerc down in the closing stages of the race, passing him on lap 63 after Leclerc had a bit of a moment and went off the track in the last corner. All right, results of the race. Winning the race from pole position was Carlos Sainz by a 4.7 second margin to Lando Norris in second, followed by Leclerc in third. Fourth and fifth were Hamilton and Russell. Sixth through 10 were Verstappen, Magnussen, Piastri, Hulkenberg, and Gasly. We had 11 through 15 were Stroll, Colapinto, Ocon, Bottas, and Zhou. And then 16 and 17 running off the finishes were Lawson and Perez, fittingly enough. We had three DNFs, and it was Fernando Alonso, Alex Albon, and Yuki Tsunoda. Alonso starting his 400th Grand Prix and ending it after 17 laps and presumably car issues. So
what a first 20 laps of the race.
Ben, this was a doozy for, yeah, like you said, the first 20 laps and about the last 10 laps.
Yep.
It was a pretty good race. The middle stages were a little snoozy, but overall, I think it was pretty entertaining. There was kind of a lot happening on a lot of different fronts.
Yep. Yeah, so, Alex Albon taking the opportunity to crash twice in yes. one weekend.
And Yuki Tsunoda, who crashed twice in one weekend. Possibly three times. Did he? I don't think he crashed in qualifying, so there's that at least.
Yeah, there's that.
But Verstappen and Norris, with some spicy scenes on lap 10. Verstappen, they going into turn 4, they were pretty much dead even. Norris maybe inches ahead of him, but he took it upon himself to run Norris out of road, literally not stopping until Lando was on the grass, and had to cut the corner massively just to not crash, almost taking Carlos Sainz out in the process. And then into turn 7 or 8, or whichever one it was the really bad one, where Max essentially didn't even try to make the corner, and all he did was send it up the inside of Lando to shove him off the track, nearly into the wall. I don't know how they didn't crash. That was kind of insane.
Yeah. Now, at some point, I wonder if there's room in the rules for some kind of latitude on being able to decide when an attempt to pass is not illegal, but, you know, like dangerous or something like that.
Yeah.
And I know that that's a super subjective thing, and we hate subjective rules, especially coming from the FIA, but especially with like Verstappen when he was young, and Verstappen apparently now that he's older and not winning, is like a prime candidate for like, well, even if they both go off track and, you know, other things happen and maybe penalties offset or whatnot, there's got to be some latitude for making decisions to penalize based on maybe how you enter a corner or something like that relative to another driver.
Yeah, it'd be really hard to police that properly.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
It makes so many people mad.
Yeah. It seemed pretty clear to me that Max did not have any intent on making that corner just based on the way everything went down. I don't know.
We could use AI.
Yeah, we could, but we're not gonna. yeah, it's tough to judge these things. I mean, if it was me, they gave out 5-second penalties last week and 10-second penalties this week. If they have the different times based on severity, I would have given Max a 5-second penalty for turn 4 and would have given the 10-second penalty for turn 7.
Mm-hmm.
But excuse me, still getting over this. But it's hard to judge, you know, where intent is. It's just kind of a how it looks kind of thing. But, you know, it's hard, but I'm glad they at least penalized him. I'm confused that he did the exact same thing last week and Lando got the penalty. for some reason. And then Perez did the exact same thing to Stroll later on in the race and didn't get anything. So it's just more classic FIA inconsistency. Seems like they're more worried about the optics in the story than the actual rules. So I don't know what to think, but it's a little frustrating that these rules are not enforced consistently across the board. It doesn't help that the stewards are also different at every track. They're just like volunteers that are not paid. They don't really have any sort of not responsibility, but
accountability.
Accountability, that's the word. Thanks, Ben.
You're welcome.
You know, they do what they do, and then they go home at the end of the week, and that's it for that season. Whereas I really feel like Formula One should have a paid team of stewards that travel to every race and are on the same page always about everything.
You mean like IndyCar?
Like IndyCar and every other motorsport series in the world. Except for, I guess, probably World Endurance probably doesn't. It does things similar than to F1, but I mean, it just makes the most sense to me. If you're going to have a sport at this level with this amount of money, you don't have to pay stewards a lot. They're literally living their dream, watching Formula One races trackside every single week, getting their flights and hotels paid for and food. It's like, I would take that job for very little money.
Maybe ask your fiance first, but
I mean, yeah, I guess I would have to do that.
But I totally understand where you're coming from.
Yeah. There's a lot of people out there that would do this for basically nothing, to be employed by the FIA. But I do think it is important that it is a paid job that they have the ability to lose and they're not volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
I think that actually makes a sizable difference.
Well, and it just gives time to become more familiar with the rules too. I mean, you can read the rules and understand them and remember them for a weekend, but there's some nuances and some things that you kind of need to be around the rules of a sport like this for a while before you really start understanding the intricacies of it.
Absolutely. All right, let's move on to Fernando Alonso. Like we said earlier, he started his 400th Grand Prix this week, and it did not last long. He had a cool helmet, though, to commemorate the moment. It was gold.
Did they even televise when he had his car retired?
They did for like 5 seconds.
Oh, okay, I was going to say, it's like one moment he was there, and then we hit lap 25, and Emily was like, oh, where's Alonso? What happened to him?
The man is retired. Yeah. Not from the sport, but from the race.
Yeah.
So unfortunate for Fernando, but history being made, the only driver to ever race in 400 Grand Prix, pretty insane.
Yeah, do you think he's going to go for, well, I guess not 500. 500 would be a lot. 5 years.
Yeah, that'd be another 4 years minimum. Probably five. That's a long time. I don't see him reaching 500.
No.
But we'll see what happens. I mean, maybe 450. Maybe.
What are the chances somebody breaks 400 or breaks Alonso's record? Do you see anybody count up the pipeline who might have a chance?
It would have to be someone who's super young and also super talented. I mean, somebody like Antonelli is possible depending on how well he does. Piastri is possible. I guess even Norris. Verstappen's going to retire early. Leclerc is going to get so depressed at Ferrari that I don't think he'll last. Sainz is
Lewis
going
Hamilton's
to
Hamilton's at 350 races or 350 race starts.
Is it 350?
352, I think. At least if the Google AI is correct.
And in that case, probably Hamilton. He'll probably be at Ferrari for at least 2 years, but I don't know past that.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll just be a one and done too. That's also possible. If that's the case, I could see Ferrari jumping at the opportunity to hire Carlos Sainz right back. I think mistakes were made a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I had that thought the second I saw the news about Hamilton to Ferrari is, what on earth are you doing? This guy's going to retire in 2 years, and you have Carlos Sainz locked in, who he does not want to leave, and he is just as good as Leclerc. And on his day, he's better than Leclerc, so yeah, I don't know. But yeah, so let's move on to Yuki Tsunoda, who has had a pretty atrocious weekend, destroying his car twice. Yeah, it was not a good weekend for him when he spent the entire beginning of the weekend in press conferences talking about how this was his opportunity to show Red Bull what he's made of and what he can do and earn his seat on the grid or on the in the Red Bull car.
Yeah.
He did not do that. His move at the beginning was a little opportunistic. It was just a racing incident. Nobody's fault, really, but yep, it happened.
Yeah.
He's out of the race, and so is Albon. Albon has been having the worst luck as of late. That poor guy cannot catch a break.
And all of a sudden, he's just immediately gone to washed mode.
Yeah. So I feel a little bad for Albon, but Yuki Tsunoda struggled a lot, and so did Sergio Perez with a horrible qualifying. Just Sergio Perez things at his home race, no less. Then, of course, coming up to the grid on the formation lap, he stopped a couple feet in front of his pit or his grid box, so he got a false start penalty. And then there was the whole scuffle with Liam Lawson and Lance Stroll and just things that made him look not good. He was off the pace. He pitted for soft tires at the end of the race to go for fastest lap, only to miss the lap by 1.7 seconds.
Which is insane.
That's so bad.
To miss.
Like, it wasn't even close.
And that was personal best sectors for him still.
Yeah, it was kind of nuts, like, how horrible Perez was this week at his home race.
Yeah.
It's really unfortunate. But now there's talks in the Red Bull camp, which I take with a grain of salt now, that he could be replaced as early as Las Vegas.
I honestly don't see that happening.
I don't see that happening either. I could see him being replaced over the off season, but not during the season. There's no way.
Yeah.
No, at this point, they've put all their chips in that basket, and like
now they have to lay in the basket.
Exactly, Ben. So Sergio Perez will probably be at Red Bull until the end of the season. If he is back next season in the Red Bull, which I give about a 75% chance that he is back, just based on the fact that they haven't replaced him yet. I don't know. There's something going on behind the scenes. There has to be, because there's no way that after they were so ruthless with Gasly and Albon, that they're keeping Perez for performance reasons. There's no way.
Yeah.
There's no way. So we could get into that whole thing and my ideas on that, but that, again, this is not a politics podcast, especially not when it comes to politics of other countries, which may actually have something to do with why Perez is still there, but that is, again, not for this conversation. Podcast.
A whole other conversation. I know we're going to talk about him here in a little bit, but Lawson versus Tsunoda. Do you think there's a chance that Red Bull pulls in outside or goes straight for Lawson, despite him only having, six races by the end of the season?
It's really hard to say. If Perez leaves, who fills his seat is the question of the millennium. I mean, Of course, Christian Horner is hinting that it could be Daniel Ricciardo still, but there's no way. That's not happening. I'm just going to come out and say it right now. So I don't think it's Ricciardo. Do you want to know what I think is the most likely thing to happen, Ben?
I would love to know what you think the most likely thing to happen is.
Well, I think the most likely thing to happen is that Perez keeps his seat next year.
My God.
The most likely thing other than that to happen, I think, is that Lawson takes his seat and Colapinto replaces him at AlphaTauri. That's what I see happening.
I could see Colapinto getting into that seat, yeah.
Into the V-carb?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know I wouldn't put him in a Red Bull yet, but... I wouldn't put Lawson in a Red Bull yet either, but they're running out of options, and anything is better than Perez at this point. You can't get much worse.
I like how you completely skipped over Tsunoda also.
Well, so did Red Bull, so, you know, we're on the same page. Also, Tsunoda is just... He ain't it. He's not the one. Yeah. I'm sorry. I feel bad. Remember
3 years ago when everybody was like, this is the kid who might have a chance at the next Red Bull seat?
And I do remember
just,
that.
He's just been an AlphaTauri driver for his entire career instead.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah.
I feel bad that he was probably promised a lot and has received nothing. But also, like...
Skill issue.
He's been mediocre on average. Not bad, not good. He's just kind of there, which is kind of harsh to say, but... Also,
he said when he has flashes, they're flashes of being upper midfield at best.
Yes.
Like on his best days, he is upper midfield, but he's never challenging like the other like big drivers. He's not challenging like Mercedes at their slowest or anything like that, really.
Yeah, like you should, if you are a fantastic driver in a semi-okay car, you will at some point challenge the big boys just based on how fast you are. Like, perfect example, Charles Leclerc in Alfa Romeo was consistently in the top six drivers. Well, top 10 for sure, scoring points. But there were times when he was passing people like Verstappen in that car when Verstappen had an off day or the car was a little slow or whatever. This is back in Hamilton dominance, so it's not quite as impressive as it would be now for him to be passing Verstappen in an Alfa Romeo, but basically imagine, yeah, he's, you know, in with a shot at a podium if chaos happens, whereas yeah. I don't think Tsunoda has ever been anywhere close to a podium. I mean, has he scored a podium? I don't think he has. He might have scored one.
If Tsunoda had the sauce even in this car, I would expect him to be up closer to Alonso.
He does not even have a podium in F1, so
yeah.
I mean, at this point, if he was really everything Red Bull says he should be, he should have a podium. The AlphaTauri, when it was AlphaTauri, had opportunities. Gasly was on the podium many times while Tsunoda was in the other car. Like 3, 4, 5 times that 1 year when Gasly was like, you know, insane.
He was on his revenge arc.
Yeah, it was the year after he got dropped from Red Bull. A lot of people are saying he was top three drivers on the grid that year, and I would tend to agree because that AlphaTauri was nowhere, or it was okay, but it wasn't great. Probably sixth or seventh fastest car
that year.
It was Tsunoda.
Oh, that was Tsunoda's first year. I forgot about that.
That was his first year, but
man,
I don't think
2020
he
feels so far away.
But Gasly was scoring podiums, and I think Tsunoda maybe scored points in like 2 or 3 races that year. I just don't think he's got it in terms of the greatness that you need to drive that Red Bull. Colapinto is very promising. He's been consistently good. This is the first week I think he hasn't scored points, and it was just a bad qualifying, which happens, especially in a Williams. Yeah. And the fact that he's, what, 6 races in now? And as a rookie, this is his first 6 races, and just now he has his first kind of result.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even bad. Like, for Williams, I mean, he finished 12th. Like, you can't complain about that in a Williams. So,
yeah.
Finished better than Albon, who didn't even finished lap one, so.
I would even like seeing Teo Pourchaire, honestly, push into one of those seats.
Teo Pourchaire is probably going to end up in the second Audi seat.
Yeah.
Or Sauber at the moment. Bottas is washed. I'm not afraid to say it. Bottas is his career's over. It's time for some new talent.
He'll finish exit. Watch, he's gonna crash his car into the wall in Abu Dhabi.
Pull Call the old good. Kimi Raikkonen, yeah. So if I were a betting man, I'd say Hülkenberg drives next to Pourchaire next season. And then we'll also have Bearman in the Haas, and who was the other one? Jack Doohan is going to be in Alpine, which I keep forgetting about.
oh, you're right.
Yeah. Wow. So we've got some new guys coming in, and then Antonelli is going to be at Mercedes. Fernando Alonso is going to be at Aston Martin as a rookie. age-old meme. Yeah. And the most tragic thing is that Colapinto does not have a seat in, unless we get some real Red Bull shuffling. Probably won't.
Yeah. So, that's my pipe dream. I would love to see Colapinto get into the RB.
Colapinto is the perfect candidate. Yeah, he's the perfect candidate. He's really fast. He's really aggressive. He takes chances, and he doesn't crash. And that is everything that you need to be a successful Red Bull driver.
Yep, and I know it sounds toxic, but him and Lawson, I feel like him and Lawson are pretty close together in terms of where they're at driver-wise.
Yeah.
Lawson's maybe a little more mature, but... And I know it's toxic 2020 Red Bull, but like having those two drivers, like Lawson, knowing that Colapinto is in a seat just ready to go right behind him, and Colapinto knowing that he has to chase Lawson and that there might be a chance there, like it's super toxic, but man, that could be a good fire under both their asses.
Could be really entertaining. Yeah. I mean, if we're talking speed and skill level right now, I think Colapinto even has an edge on Lawson. The only reason I would take Lawson over Colapinto for the Red Bull seat is because Lawson has been an established Red Bull driver for years and years and years. And he has more experience in the simulator, more experience in F1 because of his races last year, all the FP1 tests. Lawson has more experience and is already embedded in that team, where Colapinto has always been a Williams Academy driver. So just for that reason alone, they're close enough. I would take Lawson, but I would be itching to get Colapinto into that V-carb.
Yeah.
From a straight business standpoint, I mean, I know you have investments in F2. You've got Isaac Hadjar is kind of the big name right now that's touted as the next big guy. But with what you're seeing with Colapinto at the moment, I don't think you can pass that up, because if he's not on the grid next year, he will be in 26 and it will be with another team. He's going to be on the grid in 26. I'm almost certain after what he's done this year, teams are probably very upset that they've already made their decisions prior to Colapinto taking over for Sargeant. And I would say the most upset team is probably Williams, because they hired Carlos Sainz right before they made the swap. And now they've got Carlos Sainz coming in, who they know is going to be looking to leave as soon as he gets there. And instead of Colapinto, who is grateful to even have this opportunity and would bend over backwards to stay in that team and continue to dominate Albon.
Yeah, honestly, the shadow pick would be Sainz and Colapinto, and Albon's out.
Yes, but...
And then, I don't know what you do for 2026, but like...
Well, Albon's already signed a contract for like a 3-year extension or something.
Has he really?
Yeah, 2 or 3 years. So he's going to be with Williams for a while. I mean, I guess... Technically, F1 contracts really don't mean much. but I don't see them shafting Albon like that. Yeah, it's just unfortunate that this all happened so late in the season after all a lot of the silly season stuff was over. Because I think if they dropped Logan even at Miami or earlier on the season when they were actually threatening that, I think Colapinto would have gotten a seat for next year.
Yeah. Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah. It's hard to know, but at the very, like, Haas didn't know who they were going to hire. They ended up with Ocon somehow, but
I also completely forgot about that.
Yeah, Ocon and Behrman. Like, they probably would have hired, they probably would have hired Ocon and Colapinto if they had known. But they did not know, and so here we are. It is still possible he gets that Sauber seat, though. That seat's still open. I just... Teo Porcher, man. He's got potential.
He's got just a lot of experience in racecraft now after his time in Indy.
Yeah, and he did well in Indy.
He did well in Indy. Got experience with super close racing, which if 2020 regs work the way they want, it's going to get closer. So,
yeah, for sure.
I don't know.
All right. And then we didn't really, we dove into Lawson a little bit, but talking point is Lawson did flip off Sergio Perez as he passed him. Just thought we'd let you guys know in case you didn't see that. Just to add to the spicy personal vendettas that they have for each other. I think it's awesome.
Yeah. The animosity is something we've really been missing for a while.
There has not been a lot of animosity in this sport, and I am living for it. We had fumes of it in IndyCar with Grosjean and Ferrucci this year. But now we got Lawson and Perez, and it is fantastic. And I really hope we get some more spicy rivalries in F1 here pretty soon. Verstappen Norris is starting to look that way. A little bit.
I want to see driver versus team rivalries too. I want to see like Pillow versus McLaren levels of rivalry.
Yes. You mean Pillow's lawyers versus McLaren side rivalry?
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. Let's move into the standings. Verstappen still leads the championship, but only by a measly 47 points now. Norris is really close to being out of time here. We'll see what happens in Brazil, but Lando is 47 points behind. Then you got Leclerc in third and Piastri in fourth with Sainz in fifth. 6 through 10 are Hamilton, Russell, Perez, Alonso, and Hülkenberg. Sergio Perez in eighth place. Wild stuff. 212 points behind Verstappen.
He's not going to lose to Alonso, but he has no chance of catching up anywhere past 8th.
No, that's where he is now. And then in the Constructors, we do have some movement. McLaren stays on top at 566, and Ferrari moves up from 3rd into 2nd in the championship with 537, and Red Bull is in 3rd with 512. And then you got to go all the way down to 366 to find Mercedes in P4. Also, Haas had a great weekend and has broken its tie with RB, so Haas is now solidly the 6th best team on the grid, which I would say is probably about accurate. In fact, I would say they have the 5th fastest car on the grid at the moment. Aston Martin has been nowhere.
Slow start.
Yeah, slow start. Aston Martin had a better start to the season, and then they just tapered off like they always do. But, yep. Championship is all 24 races. Does not matter where you are at the end.
Aston Martin's like the reverse McLaren for the past few years.
Yeah, start off really well and then get really bad.
You devolve into a tractor.
Exactly. But yeah, Haas has been really impressive this year, actually. I was watching the race thinking about that. Like,
they've been consistently in the points. At least one driver in the points, yeah.
Yeah. So, very good steps forward for Haas. I think this Toyota partnership they just got into is going to be only a good thing. I don't see any negatives to that on their side, especially.
Yeah, just wait until they get their hands on a simulator.
Yeah, they might be able to use a wind tunnel. Unheard of.
Imagine.
Jokes, of course. Very good stuff from Haas. Actually, very happy to see them up there. They've had a rough go of it the last few years, so good stuff. Pit stop championship. Let's move on to that. We've got Piastri in first place with a time of 1.9 seconds flat. Pretty quick. I didn't even notice that. And then Perez and Norris in second and third. And then fourth and fifth were Sainz and Bottas. 6 through 10 were Stroll, Hamilton, Russell, Lawson, Leclerc. Moving into the standings, not much has changed. It's still Perez and Verstappen out front and Red Bull out front by quite a margin. Overtake of the week. I give this one to Carlos Sainz for his overtake on Max Verstappen in turn one. Just a great move. Late on the brakes. Dove down the inside. Caught Max sleeping a little bit. Really good stuff.
One might even say the correct way to do a late breaking dive into a corner with the door open.
Yep, for sure. Max Verstappen almost got it with his overtake on Lando Norris, but I decided no.
What, a little bit soured for you?
A little bit. I am wearing my McLaren hat today, so. All right, before my voice gives out, let's go through our predictions. Ben, give me your top five for the Mexican Grand Prix, but first, let's go through the top five for people who don't remember. It was Sainz, Norris, Leclerc, Hamilton, and Russell. What did you say, Ben?
It was bad this week. I thought I did way better, to be honest. I had Norris, Leclerc, Verstappen, Sainz, and Piastri with Gasly as my dark horse. I thought I put in a way different podium than I did, so that was a bloodbath.
Brutal. I had Sainz, Leclerc, Piastri, Verstappen, and Norris with Lawson as my dark horse, so I got the winner. Sainz did win the race. Fastest lap, what did you say, Ben?
I had Norris for that.
I had Piastri, and it went to Leclerc. Driver of the day, what'd you say?
I had Leclerc for that.
I had Sainz, and it was Sainz, so there I get that point as well.
Impressive.
I just remember last week.
Go for it.
I was going to say last week you were asking me why Sainz over Leclerc, and I remember saying, because why not? And I want to stand by what I said there.
That's good reasoning. You should use that more often.
Why not, Sainz? There we go. So,
yeah.
All right. What were you going to say, Ben?
I would like to bring up that it's another week where Sauber did not score any points.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yep.
Maybe next episode we can reveal what hot sauce we're going to use.
Yeah, that'd be a good one.
But right before the last triple header of the year, so we got some anticipatory build-up to that last race where I will be crying on the inside when Bottas finishes 11th.
Or maybe it won't. That's kind of the fun part, too, is like if I choose something too hot, then it's going to be too hot for me, too, if I lose. Which there is a chance, however small it is.
It's a very small chance. I don't think... Well, first off, when we made this bet, we weren't even talking about the same thing. So I just want to put that out there. Secondly...
And you still agreed after the terms had been changed.
Secondly, I did still stand by what I said, even though I was saying a different thing. All of this convoluted conversation aside, I did not expect Sauber to be this bad. But they are. Yeah. So here we are.
And you're being punished for it.
Of course, because that's the way Formula One likes to do things. Punish the fans who care the least. All right. Brazilian Grand Prix. Top five. What do you got, Ben?
I'm going to say Leclerc, Norris, Piastri, Sainz, and... It's Brazil. You kind of got to give Hamilton at least a little bit of credit here. All memories of 2021 aside, where he just got an absolute rocket engine put into his car. That won't happen this year. Anyways, and my dark horse is Colapinto.
Good stuff. I've got Norris, Piastri, Sainz, Russell, and Leclerc. And Gasly is my dark horse. I did have Hamilton in fourth before Ben said, who would pick Hamilton? And then I decided to change to Russell. And now he's saying, you gotta have Hamilton because
the answer was me. I would pick Hamilton.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. You're just trying to scare me off of your tactics.
Psychological.
Yeah.
This is all a ploy to make sure Sauber continues to not score points.
I've been double crossed. But anyway, all right, fastest lap. What do you got, Ben?
I think if Verstappen is out of the top five, he's going to be clawing for a fastest lap.
That is actually a very good point. Neither of us have Verstappen in our top five, in case people didn't notice. It is likely he will take an engine penalty in Brazil. So that would be at least 10 places, and we'll see where he ends up. But, yeah.
Who's your fastest lap?
My fastest lap is Lewis Hamilton, because it's Brazil, and you gotta have Hamilton on there somewhere.
Yeah.
Honorary Brazilian. I'm pretty sure they actually gave him an honorary citizenship or something like that.
Yeah.
They gave him an honorary something. But anyway, driver of the day. Who you got, Ben?
If Leclerc wins it, then Leclerc gets driver of the day. Easy as that.
Okay. And if Norris wins it, then he'll get driver of the day.
Even if Norris doesn't win it, there's a chance he gets driver of the day. Let's be
probably
real.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Ben. Do you have any words of wisdom for our fine viewers and listeners this good evening or whenever the listeners are listening?
I do. And I don't know if this is really niche or not, but a good pair of trail running shoes is pretty much the jack of all trades shoe for no matter what you're doing. Like if you're going on a hike, trail running shoes. If you're walking a really long distance, you know, it's really padded, has big wide platforms for your feet to keep you comfy. Trail running shoes. If you're going out and it's like super rainy and wet, trail running shoes can either be waterproof or you can get them to like dry out super quick. They're super comfy. They're usually super neutral and made just to offer a lot of support over a lot of terrain. Some even have like little carbon fiber toe guards in them, like fake steel toe boots. And I just think they're pretty neat. And I was talking about it with somebody this week, and we both agreed on this.
Good stuff. All right. And that will round off this episode of Rev Hang. Thank you so much for watching and listening. If you enjoyed this episode, leave a like or rating on the platform you listened on. It really helps us out. Subscribe or follow if you'd like to see more. If you want to see updated standings for IndyCar and F1 or a calendar of upcoming racing from those series, check out our website, revhang.com. If you have a question about racing or about us, hit us up on any socials in comments and DMs. We may feature your question on the next show. You can follow Ben on Instagram at BenjiMeetsWorld and myself at 2N_squared. You can follow the RevHang page on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, anywhere at RevHang Media. We'll be back in a week to talk about the Formula One Brazilian Grand Prix. But until then, I've been Nathan.
And I'm Ben.
Thanks for hanging out.
See you later.